gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. We're all playing hurt. We did the best we can. You didn't sleep. Jim has some sort of
thing.
Probably another ectopic pregnancy.
Yeah,
something.
I'm sure that's it.
Some sort of.
No, see, I haven't done
general
this,
malaise.
I'm on this like non-gluten diet thing, so when I do get something like pizza because it's put in front of me, my body says, "What the hell is this?"
Oh dear.
Well, then that's not really a non-gluten diet now, is
well,
it?
Well, it was until then.
Okay.
Jim may have a spontaneous gluten combustion today on the show, and I, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, threw my back out standing in the kitchen,
that's good.
Which is new. I'm almost certain I was not moving in any way. I think the thought of moving made my back seize up.
I think that's just your bones getting brittle right before our eyes.
I think that's what that is.
Okay. I'm fine. I'll make it through today's show.
Or maybe you just don't stretch after you go on your 400-mile bike ride.
I'm getting ready for a bike trip. That could be it.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? A little more vodka in the current cup this morning. Good as new. All right. We have Senator Jeff Merkley coming up, who's working on great stuff about the filibuster. Marcia Clark. I was saying that's maybe why I didn't sleep. Did I give away the beginning of the book already?
You really can't give away a beginning of a book.
Axe murder. Anyway, yeah. Try sleeping after that.
Wow.
Another fabulous book by Marcia Clark. And so lots of big news on the show today. All right. In the meantime, hey, guess what?
What?
It's Frisch.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Oh, look at what Dexter looks like when he's sleeping. Dexter Von Frisch sleeps paws up on his back, out cold, just like Mama.
Yeah. Well, in this case, I didn't even have to give him any booze.
Yeah.
That's how he sleeps? Yeah, that's how the only way we could cheer ourselves up this morning, by looking at Dexter Von Frisch and the Fabulous Bear.
Yes.
Have you seen
Fabulous Bear is fabulous. Have you seen that picture?
Yeah.
I have not yet.
This is what comes of gay marriage, Carl Frisch.
Yes,
it's a bear looks like he's...
And it's literally a bear, not figuratively.
It's like a kick, a shuffleball change kick.
Yeah.
Silly bear. All right. Carl Frisch, are you calling from a wind tunnel? Are you okay?
No, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It's just a little windy.
There you go. That's better.
Weird.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids? Here we go. Yay. Oh, by the way, did you see Mitt Romney? The unemployment rate will be zero if we make him president, or two, or something ridiculous.
Well, no, he said he'll get six.
If Mitt Romney becomes president, the unemployment rate will be zero because he will go into every company, load us up with debt, and then fire all the workers, and people will know that there's just no chance for a job, so they won't even look.
Yes, right. He'll sell America off for our scrap metal and copper wiring.
Yeah. But he did say that if he's president and his policies are implemented, the unemployment rate will go down to 6.
Right. The CBO says the rate will be 5.5 by the end of 2017 anyway.
Right.
So.
If we're on the current trajectory.
Well,
so.
Unemployment implies there is employment to be had, which is not being met. Zero employment means, we give up.
All right. So Stuart Varney on Fox News on how the president, as you know, is not a capitalist.
Why would Representative Clyburn and the president do this? Why would they attack capitalism? As you said, America is a free enterprise country, always has been. That is the American tradition. But capitalism seems to be attacked by the president and some people in the House.
And as an American, I'm appalled at the way Americans are treating capitalism.
Carl,
it's simply not on.
Really did the most excellent job thus far of explaining the difference between free enterprise capitalism and what Bain Capital does.
Vulture capital.
Everybody in the Republican primary, pretty much. Do you agree?
Right. Newt Gingrich, Rick Perry. I just like hearing Stuart Varney say, the word disingenuous. I don't think there was an honest bone in his body right there, because nobody, especially the president. I mean, the president has been the most milquetoast attacks on Bain and Romney. He's been very delicate in the way that he approaches this.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be going a lot further, as far as I'm concerned.
Even Mitt Romney yesterday said, look at my Bain record. And we're like, well, all right.
Okay, then.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to look at Bain. We're going to look at your time as governor.
Oh, no, don't mention that.
We're going to show people that there is no record of achievement whatsoever.
Have you noticed that he never brings up anything that he did as governor? It's always something, stuff he did as
Bain. He was the invisible governor.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness to Mitt Romney, they always bring it up for him when they, you know, introduce him. They say, Governor Mitt Romney. I mean, that's the only reference you get to his time as governor.
Right.
Governor, 47th out of 50 in job creation, Romney. Here we go.
But in fairness, you know, he was only 47th because of Hurricane Katrina, and he would have been last.
Right, he would have done even worse. Right. Had there not been a natural disaster.
Bless his heart.
Oh, bless his heart. Okay. Maybe God's Mormon. All right, let's, just saying. Okay, Bill O'Reilly.
I don't believe that this is a winner for President Obama to attack capitalism through Mitt Romney's performance at Bain.
God.
Wall Street Journal's all over him, and that's the most widely read newspaper in the country. It just looks like it reinforces some people's belief that the president is a socialist.
Some say.
Some say.
Some say, you know.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, Bill.
You have to get up really, really early to confuse Bill O'Reilly and get him to go off the same exact talking points as the rest of Fox News.
But you know, I mean, this is
for him to,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say.
For anybody.
No, you first. No, okay, what I was going to say is. No, but I mean, they're going to do this, first of all, with any kind of attack on Mitt Romney. It's going to be unfair, right? It's going to be out of bounds. I mean, that'll be the game.
Well, they're going to call President Obama any of the litany of ists that they've been practicing on him for the last, you know, 3.5 years. As communist, socialist, Marxist, Leninist, cartoonist, pianist. regardless of what he says, mind you, if he were to attack Mitt Romney's record as governor, and I'm sure we'll get to the point where we do, you know, he'd be called, you know, he's against democracy. He doesn't like governors. He's against the 10th Amendment.
And you know what we get from right-wing callers?
He's continuing on this path.
Yeah, go ahead.
He needs to continue on the path. And the way that you know he needs to continue on the path is because it's making everybody on the right wing so upset.
Yeah.
It means he's doing the right thing, the good thing.
Well, that's what I was going to say, how we can tell we're dead on when our right-wing callers call in and go, oh, well, that was in the past. So it's just anything is unfair because it didn't happen yesterday with Mitt Romney. So, yeah, it's hilarious.
Speaking of the past.
Yes.
Have you guys pre-ordered yet your book, George W. Bush's book that's coming out this fall on how to fix the economy?
Oh, stop it, George.
It's not even a joke.
I know.
First you get rid of that big surplus.
I haven't figured out yet if it's coloring book or pop-up.
It's pop-up. I think it's pop-up.
It's really true.
He's just going to go, psych, I can't believe you bought this.
And then he's going on tour. He's conducting seminars or something on how to improve the economy.
Terrific.
Wow.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I just hope they're all televised.
You sure it's not Will Ferrell?
Is he working for the Obama campaign? Seriously?
What's going on?
To do this right before the election? Really?
Stephanie, it's really hard out there for a former president, and hey, I wanted to get a job.
I don't get Bill Clinton speaking fees. I had to do something. All right. Fox and Friends on the private equity. Here
if, in fact, the government actually ran more like a private enterprise.
Oh, come on.
Would certain people still have jobs? That's the question this week.
For instance, Eric Holder, you know, he's our attorney general. Some have said, look, he botched the Fast and Furious thing where one border agent got killed, and now some are saying there's a cover-up. Do you think he, you know, if government were run like a private equity firm, do you think he would survive?
What about Harry Reid? He hasn't passed a budget as majority leader of the Senate in 3 years. Would he still have a job?
Wow.
Would any Republican in Congress have a job? No.
How about every newspaper owned by News Corp? Not one of them has turned a profit in the time that Rupert Murdoch has owned them.
That's true.
And Fox News is keeping them afloat by the money it brings in, so why not get rid of all those newspapers?
Yeah, which House Republican would have a job? Can you imagine if you just told your boss for 3 years, no, I'm not going to do any... What have you accomplished in 3 years? Nothing. I'm just against everything that you're for.
I think if you were looking for, you know, to hire somebody who was good at undermining the Speaker of the House, you could always keep Eric Cantor employed.
There you go.
He's done a pretty good job of that for the Republicans.
All right. Dana Perino and Eric Bowling on the 5.
Congressman Clyburn said that rape is actually a synonym for rob or plunder, so does that make it better?
Well, if it is, then I think President Obama's really, he's raping the American taxpayer, and he's not even giving us a dinner or a glass of wine, a cocktail.
Because that usually makes rape better.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, wine makes it better. Yeah, wow. So Representative Clyburn basically just saying the same thing about Bain Capital as pretty much every Republican in the primary did.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, it's taken me all this time that The Five has been on the air. You know, The Five replaced Glenn Beck's show.
Oh, dear.
And for a while, I thought it would, I assumed, wrongfully so, I'm guessing, that the reason that they called The Five was because they had five co-hosts. Well, it doesn't always have five co-hosts, so it's led me to believe that it's actually the IQ of the average co-host. Because it is one of the most ignorant spectacles on Fox News, and that says a lot.
Yeah, five brain cells, perhaps it'd be called. All right. Oh, Dana Loesch, what has he done to you lately?
When it comes to Bain Capital, I'm really confused as to why the Obama campaign even chose to go this route, because Newt Gingrich did this over winter. We all saw Newt Gingrich's attack on Bain Capital and how that blew up the right side of the political sphere. People criticized Newt Gingrich for going after capitalism. Why the Obama campaign chose to do it and execute it in an even poorer fashion than Gingrich did, I have to ask who's running that clown car.
Oh, you stole the Republican primary is the clown car.
Does she understand that the Republican primary and the general election campaign are very, very different?
Yeah.
That Obama can go after Bain Capital, but it might not have the same effect that Gingrich going after Bain Capital has?
The clip actually makes me a little sad. I mean, I generally don't like making fun of just truly stupid people.
Right.
It's not her fault that she's that ignorant.
And besides, we just did that with The Five. So, you know, we're trying to think of something new to say.
Right. I just don't get it. First of all, nobody on the Republican primary, during the Republican primary, attacked Mitt Romney with the gusto and with the money that this president is going to have at his disposal. You know, he's got tens of millions of dollars. Very few of any of those Republican candidates had anywhere near the war chest that President Obama has. And he'll be able to bring these questions about Mitt Romney's experience at Bain and in the governor's office in Massachusetts right in front of people. And it's going to make people like Dana Loesch extremely uncomfortable when he does it.
Gee, I hope she doesn't get too screechy. All right. Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World in a moment. 19 minutes after the hour, we like to do one clip a morning in Right Wing World that will make our boss Al Gore's head explode.
Uh-oh.
And that's coming up next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is rapidly approaching a spectacle.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say.
Right.
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 Right. You're bloody well right.
Bloody well right.
You know you got a right to say.
Say what?
Meow. Wow, I thought radio people were weird. The Chiron guy at Current TV wants to know where
Vanessa,
you got your...
Vanessa, the Chiron girl.
Oh, the Chiron girl wants to know where you got your pancake shirt?
Yeah.
Pancakes, etc. See, that's a play on words.
It's a play on words.
I don't know if you noticed.
No, one of the main characters on Raising Hope wears one, and so I can find it. You can get it at Zazzle.com.
Mm, all right.
Yep.
Zazzle?
Sounds like a Bill Cosby word.
Do they think I have a nice rack? Anything? Is there...
No.
All right.
You don't have a rack.
We need to get her drunk, and then so she writes funny things on the Chiron. Just like drunken slag.
Yeah. They can be a little dry. Representative Gwen
just
Moore.
Under Jim Pervy McPerverson. Just,
yeah.
All right. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Hello. Oh, and then under Carl Frisch, of course, homosexual activist.
Yeah. Right. And I cannot believe Chris Lavoie would say that you don't have a rack. He has seen your wine rack many times.
Well,
she has a ginormous rack there.
Yes, thank you. Uh-huh. Very nice. Okay. Oh, heavens. Is this a radio show?
Yes. Phyllis Schlafly runs a radio show.
Eagle Forum Live?
Yes.
That sounds so patriotic.
I listen to it every day on my ham radio.
On your fillings.
This is Brian Sussman.
Yes.
Okay.
You had two well-known left-wing thinkers
who had a pretty big audience.
Mm-hmm.
These were people who hated capitalism, and by the way, hated Christianity as well. They wanted to liquidate Christianity.
Liquidate?
They came up with a scenario. They said, you know, capitalism produces pollution, and that pollution could change the climate and bring us into an ice age, which would destroy all species.
Oh.
That was 1883. They put together this wild theory to destroy capitalism by scaring people with the coming ice age. Those two thinkers were Karl Marx and Frederick Engels. This was 1883.
Oh, add some of that fancy science book learning.
I can't believe you would play that clip and give away our whole plot.
I know, right?
Sorry. I ruined the ending. Sorry.
By the way, there was a mini ice age in Europe when that volcano exploded and put smoke up there.
Yeah.
But don't tell Phyllis Schlafly that.
But that's science and history.
Well, you can't tell Phyllis Schlafly much of anything. I mean, she's too busy getting, you know, she is the, you want to talk about who founded, you know, theories. She's the original founder of the theory that, you know, the taller the hair, the closer to Jesus.
There you go. All right. Carl, for see you next week, honey.
Have
love
a good
you.
One.
All right.
You
love you. Yeah, every once in a while on Al Gore's network, we like to blind you with that right-wing science. How's about that?
Science!
Karl Marx caused the ice, say, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
No, they're saying that being concerned about global warming is the same as communism.
Oh, I got it. See, yeah. I got it. Okay. Art in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Art, welcome.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning,
Luke.
Hey, it's the official high school drama teacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey. Oh, don't be so dramatic.
My wife Amy and I, first of all, were at the
meeting. Oh, my God, you're the Waiting for Guffman straight drama teacher.
Yes. Exactly.
Hi, Corky.
Amy bought me a wonderful pantsuit. we were at the Meet and Grow up in Phoenix, and it was incredible.
Thank you.
A great time.
Thank you, honey.
So I have big election news coming from Arizona.
Oh,
I have a request for Jim.
Oh, okay, yes.
So Jesse Kelly, the epitome of a right-wing tool who almost beat Gabby Giffords.
Yeah.
He's
the one that had the event at the gun range, right?
Yep.
Yes, that's the one. Nice. Shoot a gun for Jesse Kelly or something.
Mm.
So he is running against Ron Barber, who is Gabby's aide and an incredible guy.
Right, we've had him on. He's awesome.
Oh, he's wonderful. Well, that election's coming up June 12th, and I want to make sure all our Arizona voters get out there and vote, because Kelly is a tool, absolute right-wing tool.
Yep.
And then also I had a request for Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, if you wouldn't mind, today is my wife Amy's and my 15th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I wondered if maybe Tom Brokaw could say something with maybe a little angry mini-kiss guy coming in there as well.
Okay.
Wow.
About 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Congratulations on the 15th anniversary of your nuptial.
Nicely done nuptials for the 3-point play.
Angry mini kiss guy.
Because the camera angle used to make Jim look like a little tiny Jim.
Well, no, it's the camera angle and the chair, which is about 3 inches off the floor.
There's Tiny Tim and there's Tiny Jim, our little Tiny Jim. All right, 29 minutes.
We have since fixed that, by the way.
Yes, he is of normal size now. Yes. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What the hell smells like shrimp?
Just my sensual womanhood.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, now in Smell-O-Vision.
Yeah.
It is 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You were saying that you have to take your car in for service?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a sad little story about my sad little life?
What?
My little thing came up that said maintenance required, so I called, and they asked how many miles I had on it, and they were like,
it says none.
Do you not go anywhere? I was like, no.
How many miles do you have?
They're like, you don't need service for a few more miles.
How long have you had that car?
A long time.
Like
many years.
6 years?
Something.
Yeah, okay.
About 30,000 miles, something like that.
Oh, how's that even possible in L.A.?
Because I don't go anywhere. I go here, I go to spinning class, I go home.
My car,
and then I go back here.
My car is 6 years old, and it only has 58,000 miles.
Yeah. I have to confirm that, but yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
Mine is 4 years old, and I have over 50,000 miles on it.
Well, uh-huh. That's because you're an important Emmy-winning voice guy. You must go to jobs and things. Right. Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, that was a sad. That was a little sad peek into my life, wasn't it?
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, how old are you? 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Jocelyn in Virginia Beach here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Josh.
Hello. Good morning, Mama.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead. I'm old.
All right. Well, first of all, thank God for current TV.
Thank you.
If I had
too.
To watch Morning Joe one more time,
right?
I
right?
was going to check out early, I swear. So I have two things for you.
Yes.
Number one, on the W writing a book on economics.
Yes.
This is hilarious. And
right,
I think
and you're like, Onion headline or real?
I know.
Yeah.
You know what, though? This is what I wanted to say to everyone listening, which is probably pretty much common sense, but I just wanted to just go ahead and verbalize it. I think this is a Bush family conspiracy because this will absolutely kill Romney's chances
yes.
on the only issue he thinks he has, which is not true anyway. But
and then here comes Jebby. Here comes
Jebby in 2016.
Yeah.
It sets him up. It sets him up. And so I think that was my first thing. That's what I think
yep.
is going on. Because how else could this possibly be a real thing?
I know.
It's insane.
No, I know. I mean, just if you look at the polling, you know, most Americans get it. That you know, Bush is the one that caused this. It's I really thought it was a joke when I first read the headline.
I did too. I really, really did. But I couldn't be happier. I can't. I'm gonna buy a lot of copies of that, and then you know, line my dog crate with them or something.
There you go.
But the second thing I want to say is I am a very proud Marine Corps veteran, and my
thank
husband
you for your service.
Is an active duty.
And Semper Fi.
Thank you very much.
Semper Fi.
Yes. Yes. Hoorah! Hoorah! My husband is an active duty Marine, and I have a million Marine Corps friends, and I have got to tell you, the Republican Party has really, really, really lost a huge margin of their support.
Good.
I don't care what Fox News says; they really have.
Yep.
I used
you know
to
you know
Fox
how you
News.
Look at that. You can see that. Jocelyn, look at any picture of the president with the troops, and
you know,
they're always
so
smiling
happy.
And laughing.
They are so
and like...
happy. Yes, they're so happy. My husband, this is after I got out. He met Bill Clinton in one of those photo op,
right.
You know, with the troops behind him moments, and you know, people were in Bill Clinton, and they loved him, but. Some didn't because they really were kind of, really on the right. Nowadays, it's not that way. There's a small faction. Yeah, it is a big deal. I think it's such a big deal. They talk about the women. They talk about the Latino vote. The military vote, they really respect Obama in a way that I was surprised about because
yeah.
he hasn't served.
Well, this may
but
be.
They do respect them.
Jocelyn, this may be a historic election in that this may be the first time ever that one candidate wins every carbon-based life form that there is.
Yeah,
every demographic that's ever been invented.
Yeah.
They're like, well,
exactly right.
Mitt Romney lost everyone. I mean, I'm looking at, women, Hispanics, like they keep doing all these demographic polls, but that'll be hilarious. Obama wins the military vote.
I'm killing with people on my new planet, which I'm going to inherit.
Oh, boy.
It's, for instance, it's stuff like this. I've told him, helpfully, to stop talking, but he won't. I don't. He says his policies will reduce unemployment to actually a rate that's higher than what's already projected to happen without him. He told voters his election would be very positive news to the American economy. Mm-hmm. For voting for him, voters could spark an economic turnaround here.
I can tell you that over a period of 4 years, by virtue of the policies that we put in place, we get the unemployment rate down to 6% and perhaps
six.
A little lower.
Oh, heavens. Well... Here's some breaking news to Mittens. That's exactly where multiple government agencies project unemployment will be at the end of that time frame. Actually, they're projecting could be a little bit lower, right, Chris?
Yep. Yeah.
Could be 5.5, so...
Yeah, by 2017.
Well,
you know what, Mittens? You might as well pack it in now.
Yeah, but, well, I'm going to raise it to 6.
And a few weeks ago, Romney had said anything over 4% is not cause for celebration. So, Mittens, I don't...
That's kind of etch-a-sketchy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what is doing very well? The auto industry.
Yes.
Oops.
And as you remember, that was Mitt Romney's idea. Saving.
Of course.
Let Detroit die. I wish I mean
prosper. Here's the good news. When most people saw that headline that Mitt Romney took
to credit
after writing Let Detroit Go Bankrupt, the famous editorial, the word that most Americans spoke named a new Romney child. Flern.
Flern.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The
is that a new one? Anne just popped another one out.
Me? The automobile industry has been a consistent bright spot in the American economy over the last several months. In fact, some economists say driving the recovery. Mm-hmm. Automakers have added jobs to meet growing demand, and news from the industry only getting better. Estimates, they expect to sell 14.3 million cars in 2012, and that's 1.5 million more than they sold last year. I'm of no help at all because I drive my car for 1,000 years because I don't go anywhere. My Packard is doing just fine.
Yeah, especially after the WineStar started pallet deliveries. You haven't needed to go anywhere.
I don't care how many times Mr. DeMille calls. He can't have my car. Factories for both foreign and domestic automakers are now working at maximum capacity. The industry is adding shifts and jobs to keep up with that rising demand.
You say that like it's a good thing.
Some plants adding third work shifts. Others are piling on worker overtime and six-day weeks. Ford and Chrysler are reducing the annual two-week July shutdown at several plants to add thousands of vehicles to their output. It's like Lucy in the chocolate factory. We can't make them fast enough.
Speed it up, Pearl.
Speed it up. We have many plants working at maximum capacity now, said a Ford spokesperson. We're building as many cars as we can. Chrysler and GM, the major beneficiaries of the auto rescue, have both reported their best profits in more than a decade. And both were already planning to add jobs this year. The industry has added, Jim, more than 139,000 jobs in the last 3 years. Thank
George
you,
Bush.
Mr. President.
George Bush, yes, you're welcome.
What did that right-wing caller say the other day? You know, Obama lost more jobs than he gained in the auto bailout.
I saw it on the TV.
Yeah. Stuart Barney told me so.
Maybe it was Gretchen Carlson. I can't tell them apart.
What? Well, Richard Deere. I just named another Romney. That's the one that's born after he loses the election.
Yeah.
Okay, Richard in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I'm glad to be able to speak to you this morning. And
Thank you.
Bring Sexy Liberal to Houston.
Oh, well, we will look into that.
I know it'll be the belly of the beast, but you'll be a big hit, I guarantee you.
Oh, thank you. We had a great time in Austin.
Austin's great.
Yeah.
What I'd like to comment on today is the so-called reverend who wants to hang gay people from trees.
Ah, yes.
Such a wonderful person. What will we accept as religion in America? Can you just put a veneer of religion over any hate speech and suddenly it's okay?
Yeah.
The KKK was a religious group.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, they burned crosses, as you recall.
Taxes. Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Richard. That is exactly what it is, hate speech. No matter where if it comes from a pulpit, it is no less a hate speech.
You're right. It doesn't matter if you put a veneer of religion on it. It's still hate.
Yep, absolutely. What I was asking for, those of us on Current can see me furiously, that Maria Bamford bit we played where someone's calling Delilah love songs on the coast after a breakup.
Okay, it looked like you wrote Maria Bartiromo. And I'm like,
it's entirely different.
I'm just saying
that's what the Romney's kids, after they've lost the will to live and they've lost the election, that's what their kids' names will sound like. Just, here's our newest, David in Asheville. Go ahead, Jim, sorry.
Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, David.
You mentioned that carbon life form thing.
Yes.
But no carbon life. I know you're joking about it, but it's started me thinking, and I started thinking, you know, it's quite possible this could be the first election that nobody votes for a Republican candidate.
Yeah.
There'll be 85 million people voting against Barack Obama, the black guy in the White House.
Yep.
But not one, because I defy you to hand somebody a piece of paper and a pen and say, list not 10 reasons to vote for Romney, list one reason to vote for Mitt Romney.
Yep. No, I mean,
defy you to find one person.
David, even Republicans, even prominent Republicans, I mean, that was like a game show. Who's given the most tepid endorsement? Romney. I mean, even Republicans can't muster anything that even sounds vaguely like they're for him. So you made a really good point. All right, here's the bit I was talking about. There's some name suggestions, Jim, for Romney children.
Mm. Love songs on the coast with Delilah. Where are you calling from tonight? What are you requesting? Dedications. What's your name? Happy holidays. Where are you calling from? Hi, Amy, calling in from Tustin, Arizona. What's going on with you tonight, Amy? So you and Matt broke up. That's hard. That's tough. What do you want to say to Matt tonight?
Ah!
We'll play that for you. That's Penny Lover by Lionel Richie.
We've replaced Maria Bartiromo with Maria Bamford.
Yeah.
Let's watch.
That would be funny.
Two completely different people.
It'd be funny, her hosting a financial show.
Yes.
Okay, 45. What does all the stockbrokers are out there? What does that mean? Are stocks up or down?
Well, it's, might as well have Alan Greenspan back.
Yeah.
The eagle flies at midnight. But you will not stop for cigarettes at the Piggly Wiggly.
What? What does it even mean?
This just in about Facebook stock. What do you want to say? Oh, that's tough. That's hard. What do you want to say about Facebook stock? 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Access your PC from anywhere with GoToMyPC. That's what we use. It's great. We want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For our exclusive offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button and enter the promo code Stephanie. That's GoToMyPC.com, promo code Stephanie.
Yes. All right. What did Jim and I do during commercial breaks? We giggle when we hear words like cedar-based penetrant.
Can you be a penetrant and a penitent? I guess you can be penitent about having been a penetrant.
Sure. Exactly. Okay. Oh, looky here. It's yet another unsolicited testimony from Clinton, Atlanta. More of a love story, though, really.
Oh, nice.
Good, I can help other people's. Dear Steph, I want to drop you a line and test the power of flowers. About a month and a half ago, my wife and I decided to separate after almost 9 years of marriage.
Aww.
We've gone through incredibly stressful times over the past year, and neither of us were willing to stand by each other anymore. I took my things and went to North Carolina. She stayed in our home in Georgia. On Mother's Day weekend, I decided to make a gesture of goodwill and gratitude for being the mother of our son, Ian. I went online, ordered a Mother's Day bouquet from ProFlowers, and I, of course, remembered to type Stephanie in the box. That's the most touching part of the story.
That's the best part, yes.
Part about me. I wouldn't read it if it wasn't about me.
Right.
That Monday, my wife called to tell me she cried when she received flowers, and last Saturday she drove up to North Carolina to bring me back home. We are reunited, working on our issues, and I believe I have you to thank for it. Mama, you've done good. Thanks for everything. Clinton. Well, good. That's my role in life.
To save other people's marriages.
Yes. 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 Right. Yes, I have a purpose. Ruining my own and helping others. That's what I am. I'm a giver. I'm the Mother Teresa of relationships. There we go.
Your life is not in shambles. Stop it right now.
I'm happy.
In the house of the rising sun.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Victor in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Vic.
Thank you, Steph, gentlemen.
Yes.
I'm hoping to become the official stay-at-home dad of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to mention something that I saw the other day when Mitt Romney was trying to turn this whole Bain Capital thing to his favor. He was stating about how he has private sector experience and that's going to help him, you know, turn the economy around, and all Obama's been is a career politician and a community organizer, blah, blah, blah. The thing he doesn't recognize is that there's never been a successful president with private sector experience who's helped the economy. The last president that had any private sector experience was W.
Hello.
And how'd that turn out for you?
You're welcome.
You know, go over the last 60 years, Clinton, Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower and Reagan, even the Republican icons didn't have private sector experience.
Yep.
If they want to hold them up as the example... He's got it all wrong. They're two different skill sets. And, and regardless of what you think of his private sector shenanigans, you know, for ill or good, it doesn't mean he's going to be a good president. In fact, it probably means he'll be a bad one.
Yep, exactly.
Eisenhower lived most of his life in the military, which is the quintessential public sector job.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, did you see the so you know the ads with the actual workers that were laid off from, you know, companies that Bain took over? So the Romney camp is going after the employees now featured in the ad. One of a senior Romney aide dismissed the latest ad as performance art gibberish. What? It's economic interpretive dance.
Sure.
Whatever. Those are real people that lost their real jobs because companies that you know, Mitt Romney's company took over.
They're faking it.
The spokesman said, shouting louder and getting more angry is not very persuasive. The idea that people are walking around with less of a paycheck or higher gas prices because of something Bain Capital did 20 years ago is absurd. That's not what they're talking about.
Right.
They're talking about this is what happened to me then.
Who lost their actual jobs because of actual actions by the actual Bain Capital.
Yes. Yes. That's the performance art.
Actual Kabuki theater.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. All right. In other mittens and noise of the Jesus out of me news, originally planning to focus on education, Mitt Romney instead reignited the debate over his business credentials yesterday, welcoming scrutiny. Well, all right then. Oh, after you. Why, let's take a look at Bain then, shall we? No,
you. Oh, no. You first.
Oh,
thank
yes.
you.
Oh, all right then. He says he's a far more qualified steward of the economy than President Obama.
But he shipped jobs overseas.
Right.
Yes.
And he said what our caller just said. Right now we have an economy in trouble. Someone who spent their career in the economy is more suited to help fix the economy than someone who spent his life in politics or as a community organizer.
You helped destroy the economy, you dolt.
Yeah, well, that's back now, the community organizer thing. Here it is.
Fact is that I spent 25 years in the private sector.
Yeah, private sector.
And that obviously teaches you something that you don't learn if you haven't spent any time in the private sector.
People. And
the president's experience has been exclusively in politics and as a community organizer.
Ah, there's that again. Okay.
God.
Yeah. My experience has been in outsourcing jobs. Please and thank you. Romney charged also millions of American children are getting a third world education under Obama. Do we have that? Yeah, I think
yes.
we actually, yeah. Yeah, here we go.
Millions of our kids are getting a third world education. And America's minority children suffer the most.
Oh, he cares.
This
message,
is the civil message. Rights issue of our era.
Oh, please. Oh,
oh so he wants to give vouchers to people? Is that
yes,
what
yes.
So they can go to Cranbrook.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or whatever. Here's $500. Good luck.
Good luck affording Cranbrook on that.
Oh, please. Message, I care. Oh, please. It's the civil rights issue of our time.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Here's a coupon.
He offered
Don't
few
spend
details.
It all in one place.
Yeah.
He offered few details so far on foreign policy, health care, and education following a playbook that heaps criticism on Obama and offers only a vague roadmap for what he would do differently. Romney told Time magazine if he wins, he wants Congress to wait till he takes office to deal with the so-called fiscal cliff when two rounds of tax cuts expire and automatic spending cuts to defense and domestic programs kick in. He said he was open to a temporary measure to keep the economy going until he had a chance to shape a permanent solution.
Sounds like final solution.
I think we got what the permanent solution is.
Here's a coupon. That'll cover your books for your first semester.
Right, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I love this. He defended his work in the private sector in the interview, but he initially struggled to identify specific skills or policies he learned at Bain that would help him create an environment in which jobs would be created.
I have a certain set of skills. Set of skills.
Oh, look, here's his Rick Perry moment. He later identified trade, labor, and energy policies. I'll think of it. Oops. Oh, here's the three things I was at. He said, I happen to believe having been in the private sector for 25 years gives me a perspective on how jobs are created.
Yeah,
but that's not what you did. that someone who's never spent a day in the private sector like President Obama simply doesn't understand, because he's clearly a dummy.
God.
And asked whether he'd welcome a focus on his debate and debate on his career at Bain. He said, well, of course.
Okay,
well,
then.
After you. You first.
Right.
Thank you.
He was supposed to be talking about education, and you're right, Jim. What he outlined? A voucher-like plan.
Yeah.
It's a voucher-ish thing. Don't say vouchers. It's a voucher-ish type.
It's a voucheroid.
It's a coupon.
Sure.
It's voucherlicious.
He wants to hand out coupons.
Here you go. Don't spend it all in one place.
His proposal not expected to include any new federal money for education. So you can see right away he's going to magically improve the education in America. He said the teachers' unions are the clearest example of a group that's lost its way. The teachers' unions don't fight for our children. Wah, 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 wah. By the way, the budget Romney signed into law as Massachusetts governor, which he never mentions, cost 14,500 teachers, librarians, and school police officers their jobs. So that's his record there. So he does have a record.
Just a crappy one.
Yeah. We'll tell you some more interesting about who he hired on education. We'll talk about that. And Senator Jeff Merkley as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to It's 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website for all the upcoming dates and merch, as they say in the touring business.
Merch.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, Jim, I'm going to do the guest quote again for you. Who said Jeff Merkley is prophetic and Senator Merkley was right, the rest of us were wrong on filibuster reform? Who said that?
General Buck Churchison.
No, Senator Harry Reid.
Ah.
Not our next guest.
Close.
Who's working on such an important issue. Senator Merkley, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much for coming on. I have to tell you, I was mentioning you yesterday because I was at an event where Rob Reiner gave the most impassioned speech about how we got to get rid of the filibuster or we're not going to get anything done. But I think what you're experiencing in the Senate is just unprecedented use of the filibuster, right?
Oh, absolutely. Essentially, we've gone from a simple majority Senate that I first witnessed when I was an intern back in the mid-1970s to a supermajority Senate, out of sync with the Constitution and out of sync with the notion that the direction that the majority think is the right direction is the direction we should go. And that's the premise. But instead, we go the direction the minority thinks is the right direction under the supermajority rule.
Senator,
it's paralysis.
Do a civics 101 class for a lot of people that don't really even understand what the filibuster is or how this can be abused like this. Because I know that you guys, you were part of an effort last year to rein in abuse of the filibuster, but just take us through it from step one.
You bet. This stems from a basic courtesy that goes back a long ways of saying, you know what, in the Senate we don't have that many members, we can hear everyone out before we make a decision. That's the premise. What it evolved to in 1917 was a formal rule that it took a supermajority to shut down debate and get to a final vote. That was rarely invoked because it was understood to be against the constitutional premise of majority rule. But every now and then, folks said, let's extend the debate even when they didn't have much left to say as a tactic, if you will. Though that rare use has now evolved into a deliberate effort to delay the Senate on every possible activity by somebody invoking an objection to a simple majority. And it's that silent objection. I call it the silent filibuster is the way it works. Because people say, and I said this years ago, I said, why don't you make them talk?
Make them actually filibuster. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it turns out the rules have never required someone to talk. They just, you can object to a simple majority, and then it's left up to everyone else to summon the supermajority. It's now 60 votes. Well, it used to be 67, but a supermajority to shut down debate. Well, when this is done on a motion to proceed to a bill, on the amendments of a bill, on the text of a bill, and each time it basically triggers a number of hours of debate prior to the vote to shut down debate, and that then means a week delay. So you can effectively paralyze the Senate, and that's under Mitch McConnell. That's what the Republican minority has chosen to do.
Well, obviously, you know, I was mentioning Senator Reid before we brought you on, that, you know, it seems like he has acknowledged now several times that he was mistaken in his you know, quashing your effort to rein this in, right? I mean, he said on May 10th, he said, boy, if ever there was a time when Tom Udall and Jeff Merkley were prophetic, it is tonight, he said on the floor of the Senate. What is your sense on what's going to happen next?
Well, Tom and I are going to continue to lead this effort to reform the Senate. This social contract that held it together in the past is gone, so you've got to adjust the rules. The main emphasis is two things. One, create a regular process for amendments so that the minority and the majority have a chance to present their ideas for consideration, amendments that are relevant to the bill being debated. Second of all, if you're going to object to a simple majority vote and you say there's more debate needed, then you have to be on the floor debating. At the point that there is no one left to say anything, then we automatically go to that final vote. That would strip away a ton of these frivolous filibusters, because it's one thing to object and go away to dinner or vacation. It's another to object and say, I'm going to make my point in front of the American people. I'm going to spend the night here. I'm going to get some teammates. I'm going to spend the next week here, and we're going to take responsibility for our obstruction. That wouldn't happen on a routine basis.
Well, I mean, this is the point I was saying that Rob Reiner was making, that the Senate's fundamentally broken. It needs to be fixed no matter who's in power. Do you fear if God forbid, but the Republicans take over the majority in the Senate? I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people could say this could backfire.
Sure, you bet. There's this fundamental fear of democracy. Of folks who say, well, when we're in the minority, we want to obstruct. Well, I think Tom and I are committed to a set of proposals in which we will support them, whether we're in the minority or the majority. That is, the Senate has to be able to make decisions. You have plenty of checks in the system. You have the committee process. You have the two chambers of the legislative branch. You have the presidential veto. And then you have the reaction of the American people if these institutions go overboard one direction or another, and they'll replace you with the folks who present different ideas. And so but I'll tell you, if a different set of ideas were proposed, that basically gutted the ability of the minority to participate, then I wouldn't support those in the majority or the minority. That's why this ability to propose amendments, which has been the main concern of the minority, is part of the package that we put forward.
Well, I mean, you can look at any chart, and I'm sure many people have, that shows that this is beyond unprecedented, the use of the filibuster in this last Republican Congress, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's just like you can count on one hand the bills that you are allowed to go forward in a simple majority, and those happen after long negotiation that's almost equivalent to a filibuster. And the concept has been, if we can lock up the Senate, lock up the legislative process, and nothing will get done, then the American people get frustrated and they'll vote for the folks who are, quote, out of power. That is so destructive to democracy. So it's in the interest of both parties to have a process where you can debate and decide. So we've got to change the Senate. We've got to get over our fear of the majority making decisions and restore the ability for that to happen.
Okay. Well, Senator, you know, on another subject, I know that you've talked a lot about Wall Street reform. You saw Mitt Romney came out yesterday and said, you know, the unemployment rate, of course, will plummet under his presidency. And one of the things he always talks about is that it's too much regulation that's causing this. Your thoughts?
Well, it's just empty rhetoric. When you go to the substance of his ideas, he's talking about returning to the Bush strategy that led to the meltdown of our entire economy. And so I think the challenge has to be for him to put forward specific proposals and then weigh those. Do they decrease the deficit? Do they create jobs? And in fact, every proposal should be tested on both fronts. It's one of the reasons I've put forward this idea of saying, let's take programs that we can agree are duplicative or wasteful. Take one-third of the savings to the deficit, one-third to infrastructure, one-third to education. That way we both reduce the deficit and increase jobs at the same time. And it's that sort of approach we should take to any proposals that either the president or his challenger put forward.
Yep. How do you feel thus far, you know, the debate is going in terms of his record at Bain Capital and this whole argument about free enterprise or private equity?
Well, I think it raises many issues because a favorite tactic at places like Bain is to buy a company, put it into bankruptcy, strip the pension off of it, strip any sort of worker agreements, and you end up with a company that sometimes is destroyed by that process, and oftentimes working families that are greatly injured by that. They may have been 25, 30 years, and suddenly their pension is taken away. Yes, great profit for Bain, but great destruction to the families. So I think it's an issue of broad debate that needs to be wrestled with.
Yeah, I mean, Senator, I think you've hit on the absolute key to this is, you know, Romney always says, oh, you know, there's always winners and losers in business. Yeah, well, interestingly, Bain always won. They were always the winner, no matter who lost in a transaction.
Really,
right?
The workers win. I mean, if you take and you look at World War II through now, you would find that in the period through 1974, from World War II to 1974, as productivity increased, real wages for workers increased. And for 1974 until now, so we're talking 3.5 decades, we have a process in which workers' real wages have been flat and then declining in the last 10 years, while the real wealth of America increased. So workers are getting squeezed. And part of the reason they're getting squeezed are the tactics of groups like Bain Capital.
Yep, absolutely. Senator Merkley, a pleasure. Hope to talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you. There he goes. Senator Jeff Merkley. Huh?
I just hope he's able to Get that done.
Yeah, I'll say.
It's no relation to President Merkin Muffley.
No.
No.
Dimitri, it's not right to say you're more sorry than I am.
Oh.
I'm just as capable of being sorry as you are, Dimitri.
Could I have some nostalgia music? Our friend Ben LeBolt of the Obama campaign said Mitt Romney gave a vague, detail-free speech yesterday morning on education and confirmed, as if there were any doubt, just how far back he would take us. Let's all get in the DeLorean. He announced a team of education policy advisors that includes former Education Secretary Rod Paige and other officials from George W. Bush's. Paige is among several prominent opponents of teachers' unions. He once called the National Education Association a terrorist organization.
Wow.
That guy. Remember him? Romney's position on education have evolved over time.
Uh-huh.
Gee, and I thought we'd turned that page.
Oh, flipper.
I turned the page.
He once supported No Child Left Behind, but has since generally come out against the policy, as many conservatives see as an expansion of the federal government now. See, so it's now it's no good anymore, no. And it was never any good because they underfunded it and overtested and okay.
Right.
Whatever. That's not important now. despite his criticism of Obama, the president has embraced some reforms that started as Republican ideas. Their Race to the Top competition, for example, have encouraged states to lift caps on the number of charter schools. It doesn't leave a lot of room for Mitt Romney to draw a contrast with President Obama, according to one expert. The Obama campaign released comments from a series of Republicans, Bob McDonnell, Mitch Daniels, praising Obama's education policies. Nice try again, Mittens. Nice try. Ugh. Did you see he's raffling off, he can have a bite to eat with he and Anne? So they can, you know, pretend to care about you in your real life and your problems.
Wow.
Awkward. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
You're way too bootylicious.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. It is the, I try to tone it down as much as I can.
Yeah. Well.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour.
There's only so much you can tone that down.
Right?
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama, Moose, Jackie.
Go ahead. Stop it.
I'm sorry. Jackie Shetner. She sets off my love detector.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead and make your point.
Hey, Mama, two things. It's time to bring out an old friend, Larry the Landslide Lizard.
Oh, well, now let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay,
turn out.
I'm sorry. Romney's losing in every demographic and losing big. And I have yet to see one person jump up at a Romney speech and yell out, I love you.
Yeah, haven't seen that. I'm sure that's coming.
Yeah, and honestly, I hope everybody in your audience gets a chance to hear the president's address to that high school graduation class in Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah.
That was amazing. If you can hear that and you don't cry.
Oh, I cried at the... I cried at the video with the Jane Lynch narrates on marriage equality with Obama in it. I cried.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
His talk to the graduating class in Joplin, Missouri, who got hit by the tornado.
Yeah.
Just great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I heard about it. Thank you, buddy.
I understand you had tornadoes in here. That's
I understand that is some sort of wind
some
based
sort of event.
Weather event.
I'm not familiar with those. But I assume they're exactly the right height.
Yeah. Mitt Romney gave a half-hour-long interview to Time Magazine, and all that's posted on Time Magazine's website.
Yeah.
His eyes are just completely dead.
Yes.
Nothing happening back there?
No.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
Well, that's what James Lipton was talking about.
Exactly.
There's nothing in
when
the
you
eyes.
Smile.
Right. And now when he Your talks, eyes. I can't help but look at his eyes to see if it matches.
That's what James Lipton said. The eyes don't match.
Yeah.
The eyes don't match. If you were a tree, wait, you are a tree.
Yeah.
That's all right. We can abut and adjust the Rombot 2000. There is something wrong with my empathy chip. Yeah, he'll fire somebody. Hey, wait a minute. You didn't somehow make the eyes match the...
I know things haven't quite been right with me lately.
You're fired.
Who's the guy that was in charge of making my eyes match my soul?
I think President Obama should take a stress pill and think things over.
Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Lou.
Hello. Yes.
Were you aware of the new national study confirming the old New Jersey state study that actually finds that watching Fox News makes you know less about American politics and national events?
What the fuck?
If you watch nothing, you learn more.
Yep. Yeah, if you just watch paint dry, literally, you're smarter.
But then Fox...
Even if you eat the paint chips.
Some Fox News spokesperson has come out this morning and started bashing the university that actually took the study.
Wow.
Saying it was an inferior university and so that shouldn't...
If they don't agree with us.
Exactly.
Wow.
Right. Exactly.
So they're trying to destroy the messenger instead of addressing the message.
Exactly.
What a shame Fox is trying to destroy America.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't say it. You did. All right. Thank you, Lavender. Let's go to Terry in Utah. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Terry.
Good morning to you, Steph.
Good morning.
I was calling on with the education, and I have to date myself somewhat. Understand, I was in existence before they had the NEA.
Uh-huh.
And so I was in the 60s, and at that time, we were rated number one in the world for education. Now, we've had the creation of NEA. We've had all the good stuff, and now we're like 24th.
So it's all the NEA's fault?
Huh?
So it's all the NEA's fault?
I guess.
Okay. Okay.
Really?
Okay,
really?
Now, yes. Okay, let me explain, okay? Okay, thank you. Okay, back in our days... Okay, the teachers were selected by neighbors. We all hired
the neighbors,
the teachers for our schools. Okay, now if the school teacher did not perform, we fired her or fired him, whatever. Okay,
nowadays, and they had no protections of any kind.
Why do you need protection if you're doing your job?
So you could just have a posse of neighbors decide they don't like somebody?
But define perform, giving everyone A's whether they deserve it or not?
Absolutely.
Who judges the performance?
We're talking about the real world. We're talking about the real world.
How do you determine the performance of the teacher? Is it by the grades? If they don't all get A's, then the teacher's a failure?
No, you don't do
you
that.
Just
then how do you determine it?
You just have sort of a spidey sense?
You can tell by how the kids react to how they interact with the parents.
How the kids react.
If the kids are coming home, and like myself, I was not much of a studier to say.
Oh, really? Couldn't tell.
No, you couldn't. I mean, we were probably on the same level, but the whole thing is that.
All right, Terry. Sorry, we're out of time, but that is
I'm not a smart man.
Glad it's Kravitz or Kramer hiring the teachers is really the plan.
Yeah. You depend on what the kids tell you about the teacher.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller.
What are you so chirpy about?
She's still drunk from last night.
I don't think so. Whoa!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
They showed a picture of the Rombot on TV, and his eyes are dead. There's nothing there.
Yeah, we're like, see? Doesn't match.
It doesn't match.
No, it does not. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1.
Our beautiful four.
Yeah, the Rombot might just melt down entirely before the election in front of our very eyes.
James Lipton totally knows what he's talking about.
Yep. The eyes don't match.
Yes.
There's something wrong there.
1-800-STEP-1.
If you were a tree. Oh, wait, you are a tree.
Okay. All right. Barbara in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Barb.
Oh, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I feel everybody has missed the core of what Fox really is, and I would like to share it by analogy.
Okay.
Real news is to Fox as the New York Times is to the National Enquirer. I feel that everybody has missed the fact that Fox is basically the National Enquirer of television news.
Right. If you look at all of what Rupert Murdoch publishes in the newspaper world, they are all tabloids. All of them are tabloids. None of them are serious news sources.
Yep. Exactly. All right. Looky here. I was mentioning to Tommy before the break that the president thus far appears to be leading with every form of carbon-based life form thus far.
Right.
This one, President Obama enjoys a sizable lead over Mitt Romney among Latino voters, according to a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll.
Claro que sí.
34 points, to be exact. 34 point lead over 61% to 27%.
34.
Adios mio. Turnout, again, as I was saying to Tommy, though, will be key. Latinos aren't as excited about the upcoming election. A combined 68% of Latino voters say they're highly interested in the upcoming election. That's compared to 81% of all voters. So I keep saying it. Turnout, right? Vámonos. That's all I'm saying. To the polls. Let's go.
Gracias.
Thank you.
And Chirito.
All right. Gee, I wonder if it could be stories like this. Republican congressman compares immigrants to dogs. Huh. Steve King again, the stunning Steve King.
Oh, boy. God. Isn't he the one that wanted to build the electrified fence along the border?
To keep the, because that keeps farm animals in his
That keeps
farm.
Pigs out of his whatever. Corn or whatever.
Something, which is not offensive at all.
No.
He used a town hall meeting to compare immigrants to dogs, saying the U.S. should be selective when admitting them, choosing pick of the litter. He anecdotally likened immigrants to bird dogs and explained to the silent audience.
Stunned silent audience.
That's why he's stunning. He stuns people.
Yes.
With his...
That the country should admit friskier immigrants.
Friskier?
You mean like...
Like ones that can outrun
let
him?
But let us rub their belly.
You mean like Colombian prostitutes? Is that they're frisky enough for him?
Wow. And not... And quote-unquote, not the one that's over there sleeping on the corner.
Hmm. Under the sombrero, taking a siesta.
Oh, my
God. Wow. Oh,
friskier
my God.
Ones. Maybe we should, the test should be the game I play with Fred before a hike. Twirl around. You know that thing?
Michelle Bachman was right. People are just stunned into silence when they hear him talk. That's
so
he's stunning.
He'd rather have Mexican jumping beans here rather than Pedro taking a siesta under his sombrero.
Who's a frisky immigrant? Who wants a rawhide? Twirl around. Okay. Wow-wee. By the way, I leave the show on Current for Max and Fred when I go to work now. I used to be Seriously Sinatra on the radio. Now I leave. Hi, Fred. Twirl around. Do
roof,
it. Roof, twirl around.
Roof, roof. He's probably doing it right now.
Probably is.
He probably just knocked over a table or two.
Yeah.
I'll come home to just wreckage. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Mike in San Francisco. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hi, Mama. Hi, Mooks. How you
Hello.
Doing?
Go ahead.
Hey, could I be the liberal military Mormon of the Stephanie Miller
Show? Wow. Whoa, that's a niche.
Wow-wee.
Yeah, I'm a kind of a group of one, but that's okay.
An army of one.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about last week that prosecutor in Virginia who wasn't selected for a judgeship because he was gay. The argument from the Republicans was that because it was against the state constitution, gay marriage, he might have that opinion, and so he wasn't qualified. And how far can you roll that argument in terms of what rights should gays have and not have? I mean, obviously, if they have gay points of view, they're going to want to vote for people who support that, and so they shouldn't have the right to vote if we're going to follow that line of argument from the Republicans. And then how much further do you want to take it from there? I mean, obviously we shouldn't want them in the military. They're working hard to roll that back. What about teachers? I mean, I think we should be trying to pin the Republicans down on how far their gay bashing really goes. And I think that would make a great distinction for the upcoming election.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, you want to hear this? You want to hear the fun facts of the pledge that Mitt Romney signed? Oh, look, his handwriting's delightful. The Rombot, they didn't make the eyes match the...
But the auto-signing function is working
perfectly. Yeah, the auto-signing
perfectly.
Function is working really well on the Rombot. I, Mitt Romney, pledge to the American people that if elected, I will, one, support sending a federal constitutional amendment defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman to the states for ratification. Two, nominate to the U.S. Supreme Court and federal bench judges who are committed to restraint.
Well.
And to applying the original meaning of the Constitution to appoint an attorney general similarly committed and thus reject the idea our founding fathers inserted a right to gay marriage into our Constitution.
Well, they didn't say corporations were people either.
Yeah.
Quite the opposite.
Do they really want to go back to the original intent of the Constitution?
I don't think they do.
Defend the Federal Defense of Marriage Act vigorously in court. Four, establish a presidential commission on religious liberty to investigate and document reports of Americans who have been harassed or threatened for exercising key civil rights to organize, speak, donate, or vote for marriage, and to propose new protections if needed.
He signed this?
Wow.
Yes. Those are the people being bullied, you see, not the... Five, advance legislation to return to the people of the District of Columbia their right to vote on marriage. The Rombot. He signed one of them, their pledges. Isn't that something?
Oh, speaking of the people of the District of Columbia, did you see that Trent Franks of Arizona is trying to shove a completely anti-choice bill down the throats of the citizens of the District of Columbia?
Because they don't have a vote.
Because they don't have a vote. Uh-huh. The people in Congress determine things for them.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Yeah, and meanwhile, the people of the District of Columbia are overwhelmingly pro-choice.
Huh. That's a coincidence.
Huh. Yeah.
Joe in Long Beach here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Hey, look, I wouldn't want to win any contest to dine with Mitt and Ann Romney. You know,
No?
I could see showing up to this thing, you know, and Mitt and Ann are dining in the private wine cellar on caviar and beef bourguignon. Meantime, they've got me set up at a table by the kitchen door, and I'm having filet of spam and rice and beans. Doesn't sound like much fun.
You can eat with the dressage help next to the kitchen over there.
Absolutely. And look, why doesn't somebody in Arizona write a law to prevent hair lips like Terrence Frank from being elected?
Oh, now, see what you did there. Now you got to go in the penalty box. All right.
He does have the best hair lip in Congress, though.
Stop.
Well, that's something.
It.
What?
All right, Jim in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Morning, Mama.
Good morning.
I'd like to talk about what might happen if the Rombot does get elected and he starts to bane the federal government.
Oof.
I figure the first thing he's going to do is fire Congress and offshore all those jobs to Bangalore.
There you go.
And then
when you call your congressman, it'll be like calling tech support. Hello?
I'm calling you from Bangalore, Maine. That is where I am. You betcha. You can get there from here, you know.
Press any key if you'd like to talk to your congressman. All right. Okay. Thank you. That was just a little callback on our tech support bit. All right. All right, speaking of polling, we were just talking about the President Obama's re-election campaign beginning to express some confidence in the president's historic yet politically risky embrace of gay marriage. They say poll numbers on same-sex marriage are increasingly tilting in their favor, which we talked about yesterday. Includes a Washington Post ABC News poll out Wednesday showing 53% of Americans for marriage equality, 39% against. And a separate poll showed just 7% of registered voters said Obama's public support for gay marriage raised concerns about supporting him. So, you know, fully on that is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Powell, by the way, said he has no problem with marriage equality.
That's right.
He said, as I've thought about gay marriage, I know a lot of friends who are individually gay rather than collectively gay.
Mm.
You used to have to get a group together. Before you...
you know what, though?
You get a group discount.
It is easier for straight people to get a handle on, you know, the gay community if they start to know individual gay people and couples rather than them.
I made this point yesterday.
As a whole.
Right, that somebody was saying that this is why this seems to be moving even faster than civil rights for blacks happened because, you know, people didn't suddenly realize their, you know, kids or neighbors are
black. Oh, my God.
Black.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh, my God. Unless you were really, really dumb. Then,
well,
all right.
Yeah. Then you deserve what you get.
Anyway, but who are in partnerships with loved ones, and they are as stable a family as my family is, and they raise children, so I don't see any reason why they should not be able to get married.
They didn't seem black. How did I miss that?
In 2010, Powell, of course, reversed his position on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. See, I mean, there is a difference between people like, I think, Colin Powell and the president evolving on something, and Mitt Romney, who just flip-flops on any
not
position.
Not organic, so he can't evolve.
Yes, political experience.
He has to be updated.
Oh, by the way, Colin Powell also commented on Mitt Romney thinking Dolph Lundgren is the biggest threat to America.
Apple, when Governor Romney not too long ago said, you know, the Russian Federation is our number one geostrategic threat. Well, come on, think. It isn't the case.
It's funny. Okay. Anita in Arizona.
Read a book. What the?
Read a book.
Just,
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, Anita.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on your previous caller, Terry, about the unions, the teachers, okay?
Yes.
I'm okay with the teachers being in the union because I need my child taught while I discipline him at home. So if he decides who's the teacher, he's going to be playing dodgeball all day.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Did that caller say that the NEA wasn't around when he was younger?
In the 60s.
The NEA was founded in 1857.
Oh,
so I think,
wow.
So Terry is really, really old.
You know,
old.
Maybe somebody besides the neighbors should have picked his teacher because...
He's
Mrs. Kravitz said...
He's the crypt keeper.
Yeah.
Back back in my day.
Back when Jan Brewer was a child.
All right.
We didn't have any of that fancy constitution stuff when I was a youngster.
Thank you, Captain Onion Belt.
We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways.
Oh, you got it.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville.
Oh, boy.
I needed a new heel for my shoe.
So I fired all the teachers.
I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt,
right,
which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel, and in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time.
Okay.
They didn't have white onions. Because of the war, the only thing you could get was those big yellow ones.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we hadn't had a reason to play that in a while.
I know.
I was trying to remember the one that starts with, back in my day.
That was it.
That was it? Okay.
Back in old timey day.
No, that's not it. We'll find it. It's the one about sitting on a pie, I think. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I have a dog hair in my eye, excuse me.
My God, you're a mess.
Okay, but
sometimes
I'm fine.
All I need is my dog's hair in my eye.
Yeah, I need to lint roll my eyeball, pardon me.
Oh.
Talk amongst yourselves. 51 Yikes. Minutes to the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jolton Joe Biden on the
You campaign. All know what we inherited. And how and what Governor Romney's line of argument is. He says that since we've gotten in office, things have gotten much worse. He says our policies are the problem. Well, as former Senator Pat Moynihan, a good friend of mine, used to say, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but they're not entitled to their own facts.
Who would like some facts, for instance, on an Obama spending spree? Hardly.
Yeah.
I have a chart.
Not so much.
Who would like to see my chart?
There's not a phone number of a major politico on there, is there? Because you tend to hold up phone numbers of people.
Okay. No, it's a chart.
Okay.
I would like to apologize once again for giving out Van Jones' home phone number. I apologize. here are the fun facts. A dominant theme of the national political discourse has been the crushing spending spree. How many times have we heard that?
That's right.
The U.S. has supposedly undertaken under
Hannity
Obama.
Hannity says it every single night.
Yes, that argument has infused the national dialogue, shaped the public debate in nearly every major budget battle of the last 3 years. The numbers, though, oh no! Speaking of being entitled to your own facts, they tell a different story. The fact the national debt has risen from like 10 to almost 15 trillion under Obama makes for easy partisan attacks.
Mm-hmm.
The vast bulk of the increase, though, caused by a combination of revenue losses due to the 2008-09 economic downturn, as well as Bush-era tax cuts and automatic increases in safety net spending that were already written into law. Obama's policies, including the much criticized stimulus, have caused the slowest increase in federal spending of any president in almost 60 years, according to data.
Facts.
Is Obama really a big spender? Why, look how graphy and charty that is. Why, my goodness, under Obama, annualized federal spending growth slowest in decades. The chart shows that Presidents Reagan, both Bushes, and to a lesser extent Clinton, grew federal spending at a far quicker pace than Obama.
So?
Why, look, the biggest is Reagan, 82 to 85. Coming in second place, George W. Bush from 2006 to 2009. And then third, George Bush from 2002 to 2005.
Obama, Muslim, Kenyan.
I understand.
Socialist.
They're
right,
there.
Right.
They're
yes,
there.
They're there. Now. settle. Unlike his Republican and Democratic predecessors, he signed a law in February necessitating new spending laws are paid for. In addition, he last year signed into law over $2 trillion in debt reduction over the next decade. Last week, Obama's likely Republican opponent, Mitt Romney, accused President Obama of lighting a prairie fire of spending.
Socialist, Nazi, communist Lenin.
And said, wait for it, he added almost as much debt as all the prior presidents combined. No.
No, that's not true.
Liar. Your pants are constantly on fire.
Why must you be such a fat liar?
Yeah, if you look at the graph here, so Reagan, as I was saying, is the highest here at 8.7% from 82 to 85.
Right.
Who's the lowest of all these? Why, it's President Obama at only 1.4%. Right there.
Well, there I go again.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. I believe Jay Carney said something similar. He was citing a Politico piece. Politico's Morning Money piece, he said, he quoted it, of all the falsehoods told about President Obama, the biggest whopper is the one about his reckless spending spree. It didn't happen.
Right.
Although there was a big stimulus bill under President Obama, federal spending is rising at its slowest pace since Dwight Eisenhower brought the Korean War to an end in the 1950s. Hapless Herbert Hoover managed to increase spending more than Obama has.
Yeah, hapless Herbert Hoover.
Five times.
When you're drunk.
Fast. Carney, as we talked about the tough situation Obama faced when he took office on the president's significant fiscal restraint. That is a fact not often noted in the press and certainly never mentioned by Republicans. He said, don't buy into the BS you hear about spending and fiscal restraint with regard to this administration. All right. Ted in Scottsdale, Arizona. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ted.
Hi, Steph and the Mooks. How are you guys doing
good.
Today?
Hello. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I just had an observation a couple weeks ago, and I was watching the O'Reilly Factor.
Oh, dear.
For giggles. And next time you're watching, look at his hands.
Okay.
Because
why?
Got the hands of an elderly woman.
He has Jan Brewer hands.
Oh, God.
They're enormous Jan Brewer hands. All right. Let's go to Gail in New York. Hi, Gail. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Regarding the gentleman regarding education, he stated that the teachers were not in a union. Unions go way, way back. Not only that, in New York, we didn't have a problem until parents started to basically interject with education. I was a product of education. We had everything going in New York. I raised three kids on that education. We didn't have a problem until late 1980s when parents were actually told, come in and give your opinion. Once that started, everything went to pot. And I do mean went to pot, and they weren't smoking it.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to Lori in West Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lori.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Good.
Hey, the reason I'm calling is just a little input. I'm always hearing the Republicans bashing the welfare system. And the other day I was sitting in the doctor's office talking to these two young ladies, and the conversation came around to welfare. They both get food stamps. And by the end of the conversation, I realized that these two women were owed $70,000 in child support. Mm-hmm. And you never hear anyone saying, well, if we're going to reform the welfare system, let's first of all tackle getting these deadbeat dads or moms to pay what they owe their children.
Yeah, good point. No, good point. Absolutely. Sorry, out of time here. We have Marcia Clark, prosecutor, author extraordinaire, coming up, Celebrity Stack, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Caught us doing our research again for the show.
So they're saying Ötzi was in a same-sex marriage? Is that what the implication is?
It was a German word that had something that sounded like sperm in it. I was just checking with Jim,
and it was
our official German expert, to make sure I wasn't saying anything dirty. And you said you don't want to know about the story. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
It sounds like sperm in German and sperm in English are the same thing.
I can sing Silent Night in German. All right. So, which I
any
great
school
grade.
Person can.
All right. 6 minutes. That does not have sperm in it.
Oh, Tannenbaum. Oh, Tannenbaum.
Okay. 6 minutes after the hour.
Grüns in deiner Spermien. No, that doesn't work.
No, that's not it.
That's all I remember.
Heilige Nacht.
Sure. Right.
Alles gut. Einsam wacht das traute hochheilige Paar.
You can email any of us in German or English at stephaniemiller.com. Please and thank you.
No, just email Jim in German.
Dina in San Francisco, in fact, with another unsolicited testimonial.
Oh.
Steph, you have turned me into the black Jan Brady. It's always Aisha with you. Sure, Aisha Tyler is funny, smart, and smoking hot, and she's on in People Magazine's Most Beautiful issue. But in the wake of the Zimmerman case, I've heard you question her loyalty. Oh, because she won't quit the Emmy-nominated The Talk to be my convenient black best friend. Should I accidentally shoot a black person because I'm clumsy? So I'm stepping up to assume the duties of the official convenient black friend of the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, Aisha's busy. Steph, anyone who has seen you on Current TV and all of your P90X pre-spin class sports bra, weird protein-y breakfast-eating glory will agree with me that you had to shoot. Your health would be threatened by a teenager brandishing a bag of rainbow sugar pellets with a can of carbonated high-fructose corn syrup. I've got your back. Thank you, Dina. Over the years, I've developed what can only be described as an unhealthy obsession with your show. Oh, no, it's healthy. Many nights, when I get home, I'll fire up a soda stream. Oh, my, thank you. And indulge in a big Miller Matto sandwich, sometimes with a side of Turkish Granholm.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I, too, am a childless loser and severely single, so that's how I roll. Many congratulations on your current show. After the first three shows, though, I have to put myself back on a strict diet of audio-only crunchy goodness, as I was completely sidetracked by the unique chair dance stylings of Steph and MC Chris.
Yeah.
And found myself deeply moved by the unlimited voices, poignant suffering, and Dixian charms of poor tiny Jim.
Dickensian.
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 That's what I meant.
Dixian. I was trying to decipher what that.
I was trying to figure out how to say spermian in German. Just leave me alone. All right. This one from Karen. This one for Billy in Texas. Steph, may I respectfully correct your right-wing love muffin from Texas? You see, Billy, gay and lesbian couples, we do not have the same rights as you do. I'm a federal worker. I cannot put my partner on my health insurance, nor can I designate her as beneficiary of my retirement check, which I earned. Several things that you, Billy, take for granted. Can't file jointly on our taxes either. There I go again, wanting to be treated all equally and stuff. May I be the official wine-drinking, proud union letter carrier of the 70 North.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I hope not while you're delivering letters.
Because you dropped the bottle and that would be tragic.
Is this 4th Street or 5th Avenue?
Nah.
Flarn.
Actually, there's a street like a couple blocks from mine that's kind of an inversion of the name. So I always wonder if we're getting each other's mail.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Jim. Okay. And now here's the story.
If our mailman is thinking, who can say?
This is just because it has sperm in it, it's still science stack.
It's science.
Exactly. From Scientific American, the allure of gay cavemen. Huh? I don't...
Well, that's a niche.
Well...
They have a bar catering to that?
I believe Mike and Moving Boxes alerted me to this story.
Right. Oh, okay.
In 1993, the reputable German weekly Der Spiegel. I can't even pronounce things in English. What are the chances I can pronounce anything in this story? They printed a rumor that Ötzi, the 5,300-year-old frozen mummy, wow, frozen gay caveman.
Well, he was really
a homo
mummy.
Gay?
Apparently. Well, this is, I'll tell you the whole story. They discovered in, I need some high school education or something.
All right.
Was discovered in the Alps 2 years earlier, contained evidence of the world's earliest known homosexual act. Okay, I don't know. It was a prehistoric homosexual. I don't know. It's just the mind reels.
They had Glee 5,000 years ago?
In Ötzi's Hintern, what that means sounds dirty, wrote the editors referring to the Iceman's...
Side.
Oh, the Hinterland. Spermien gefunden wurden.
Sperms were found there in his cat side.
All right, Jim. Well, I didn't need... See, that's what it says here. If you require a translation, chances are you didn't want to know anyway.
Yeah.
It turns out to have been an April Fool's prank published in the Austrian gay magazine.
Austrian gay magazines. What was it?
Lambda Nux Krichenten?
Oh, I don't know that I'd just be saying German words.
I don't think willy-nilly out of this story.
No.
That was more of a graphic translation than I needed for that.
Yeah. That's not what he told you it was during the break.
Yes, I did.
Not in so many words.
April 6, 2011, a Czech archaeologist talked about an ongoing excavation of a burial in Prague that contained evidence suggesting a third gender identity.
Huh?
Not a gay caveman, like a, I don't know, something of a third gender.
Whatever.
Fascinating. I don't know. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch. Frozen gay caveman.
Yeah.
All right.
Ah, fabulous.
Also sounds like a Saturday Night at the Eagle.
Oh, Jim, that dinosaur you bought on Sunday was probably stolen, and now you look like a jerk, according to Gawker.
Oh.
Gawker brings us a story.
I got fooled again by the phony dinosaur.
Yeah. Remember that awesome Tyrannosaurus skeleton you made all those great plans for last week? It was sold over the weekend for $1 million to an anonymous bidder. Also, the president of Mongolia is claiming it was stolen.
Oh.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Yeah.
When you buy a perfectly good Tyrannosaurus skeleton and find out...
Just because you can steal it doesn't mean you should.
Saturday's auction of the artifact was interrupted with a great dramatic flair by a lawyer representing the Mongolian president. And there goes that.
Dramatic flair. We're still on the gay story.
Yeah, the gay caveman story.
Frozen gay caveman lawyer. Objected.
In the most fabulous way.
All right.
Fabulous bear is fabulous.
Speaking of weird things online, buying and selling breast milk online?
Yeah. I've heard of it.
Yes. Apparently, a lot of grown men looking to buy. Which is just.
Really?
I just think
I'm going to buy it.
I am.
Yeah,
we were talking with Carol Leifer about how long it's okay to breastfeed your.
Right.
At the Time magazine cover. And she said from her time dating men, she knows they're never finished. Well. Ever. They're never. But I'm just saying, why would you want to sans the boobie, Jim? Because that.
Kind of,
seems like it takes out all the
kill.
Fun.
Yeah.
Take out the delivery system, what's the point?
I think there's a fetish involved.
Oh, only thebreast.com is for moms who can't produce enough of their breast milk and need to buy from others. But it turns out not just women are shopping around. There's a section of posts from men looking to...
Oh.
I just know. I don't feed pigs, for God's sakes. But don't someone think of the children?
I drink it for its health benefits.
Sure.
All right. All right.
And now read Penthouse for the articles.
Oh, somebody please think of the children.
My job. All right. The happiest countries in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the story. Yes.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
How do you say that in Danish?
Once again, the United States failed to make the top 10 happiest nations. Right? Because we can't have nice things because of people like Mitt Romney.
That's right.
While countries like Australia, Israel, and all of the Scandinavian nations do. The Scandahoovians are way up there.
Yeah.
Government debt as a percentage of gross domestic product in these countries is either among the smallest in the developed world or these nations are actually running a surplus, like we did under Bill Clinton.
That's right.
Remember?
I remember the country being pretty happy during those days.
Norway, which has the second highest satisfaction score, has a government surplus of 162.5% of its GDP. Now, they must have some sort of, Norwegian Bill Clinton. Okay.
Norwegian.
Norwegian. and Dixian.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, God.
It's Dixian here because we have... Okay. Number one, Denmark. Number two, Norway. Here's a fun fact about Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Norway is able to provide quality public health and education services.
Yep.
My goodness, while maintaining a budget surplus of 162.5% of GDP. Oh, and they have a AAA rating from Standard & Poor's, sir. We used to have that, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Where the House Republicans took the...
They do have a tax rate for everybody of over 50%, though.
Yeah,
so...
But you also get free education in Denmark.
Yeah.
Denmark, Norway, and then the Netherlands. Number three, top three countries.
Well...
You know why?
And Amsterdam.
ABBA. I'm going to say ABBA. It's because of ABBA music.
ABBA Sweden.
Well, it's Scandinavian.
That was...
I'm just saying.
Stephanie. Holland
is not part of Scandinavia.
All right. My point is, the Dutch government is heavily involved in internal economic affairs, playing, quote, a significant role pertaining to almost every aspect of economic activity. Ooh, regulation. Yikes. Judging by the Netherlands' 75% employment rate, the third highest among those surveyed, this regulated monitored economy has thrived in recent years. Oh, my goodness. Imagine that.
Regulation? What?
Happy, 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 joy, joy. Mm. All right. Let's take one quick one. Terry in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Steph. Steph, I would like to be the official shrimp-eating concubine of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello. All right.
I was calling about that. I guess he was a senator, the one who kept calling the immigrants dogs and stuff. Is this guy really begging for a beatdown?
Is he what?
Begging for a beatdown? Ah. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, he says we should be choosing the friskier immigrants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that like the belly rubs. Okay, the stunning Steve King. Great. 17 minutes after the hour, much more to come, including Marcia Clark, prosecutor, author extraordinaire, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, speaking of which, the Tea Party in Colorado cut the fire department. Linda in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Just love your program.
Thank you.
I'm the official parrot rescue lady in Colorado. And on our local news, just a few days ago, there was a video of one fireman is all they can afford now to send out on great big fire trucks. He drives the truck.
Right.
He hooks up the hose, and then he fights the fire by himself.
Oh,
now,
God.
How stupid is that?
What could possibly go wrong?
About
you know,
stupidest,
our tax money went to buy the fire trucks, and the Tea Party right-wing crazies dominate this town now.
Wow.
And last year, when they cut off watering all the parks and took out all the trash cans, I stopped calling it the Republican Party and started calling it the Dead Grass Party. Now I'm not sure what to call it.
Yeah, exactly. Big government. Wait a minute, my house is on fire. By the way, Sue in Rockville, the new definition of
chutzpah.
Yes, let me get this straight. We have 29 Republican governors. They come into office and slash funds for education and lay off and fire teachers. School systems suffer, but it's Obama's fault, according to Mittens. Now that's
chutzpah.
Thank you. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Mittens yesterday.
Now, there's a president who spends his time blaming other people for the fact that he has been unsuccessful in turning around this economy.
And
I think the reason you're seeing across the country people saying they'd like to try someone new is because they believe this president, while he may be a nice guy, is simply not up to the task of helping guide an economy.
Yeah, the numbers say something else entirely.
Yeah. And can you dispense with this, and he might be a nice guy, but...
Yeah.
That's just irritating.
It's a little condescending.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mitt Romney may be human, but...
We don't know. Mittens yesterday.
The American people are interested not so much in, the history of where I was at bank capital,
I have understanding of
the private sector, but instead...
Relevant.
Has the president made things better for the American people?
Yes.
Are they better off than they were 4 years ago?
Yes.
They actually are.
And furthermore, something else, Mittens? Go ahead.
It's no wonder so many of his own supporters are calling him to stop this war on job creators.
Really? Uh-huh. Which of his supporters are calling on him to stop the war on...
Certainly not calling Mitt Romney a job creator because he sent a lot of jobs overseas.
Patty in Kansas. What's the matter with Kansas? Nothing, because Patty's in it. Hi, Patty.
Oh, yes, I've got Sam Brownback, one of those 23 new governors that are cutting everything. But have you ever noticed how everybody on the right, all the louder they beat their chests and beat their Bibles and scream, they are the nastiest, the most vile people I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I watch a little girl that's 4, and her grandmother is talking to her about Jesus, baby Jesus this, baby Jesus that. And her dad's been known to swear, so we're out walking the dogs, and she, with all the drama she can muster, wipes her forehead and says, baby, Jesus Christ, it's hot out there.
Wow. In the name of God. Oh, the baby children's. Okay. Ken in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
Hey,
got a problem with all this, you know, the job creators. We gave all this tax breaks to the job creators, and what are they doing with all their money? They're giving it all to the politicians and Mitt Romney to fund his campaign.
That's right.
Yeah, so they don't have to pay any taxes. Exactly.
They're trying to create a job for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, so you had a guy from Newt Gingrich, for example, $25 million. One man, $25 million.
Yeah.
How many jobs could I could have created?
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. Why don't you create some jobs rather than some stupid negative ads against the president? Cheyenne in California. Hey, Cheyenne, welcome.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I just want to talk about Mitt Romney's one of his biggest surrogates, Mark Halperin.
Yes.
One of Mitt Romney's biggest surrogates. He was doing an interview this morning on one of the MSNBC shows, and I thought he was supposed to be a journalist and ask tough questions of any candidate or any politician. But apparently, you know, he served. Mitt Romney might as well have been interviewed by Fox. But
right.
Let's remember, this is the same reporter that called the president the D word.
Oh, yeah.
On Morning Joe. So let's not never forget that. So when you see this guy conducting one of those fake interviews with Mitt Romney, just remember, this is the same gentleman that disrespected the president on a morning national show and called him the B word. You understand what I'm saying? So
I forget what the B word is.
The D word.
Yeah,
D word. That's right. D word. Oh, I remember that now. Yeah, that's not a whole new low, is it?
No.
In presidential politics, yeah.
And if you watch the video, not only were Romney's eyes dead, his upper lip was sweaty. I don't know what was up with that. I mean, he was getting the softball interview of softball interviews, and his lip was still sweaty.
Yeah. Danny in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, great to see you guys on TV. I love
Thank you guys.
Have a question and or comment about Willard Mitt Romney.
Uh-huh.
When you see him on the campaign trail, a lot of times you see him with his five young, healthy sons, and I wonder how many of those sons have served.
Zero.
And then
zero.
Another thing, he actually
said, in case you missed it, that they're serving higher good, and that's getting him elected.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
But I was a medic during the Vietnam War, Air Force medic in the Philippines on an orthopedic floor. I was only 20, and I took care of hundreds of people younger than me, hundreds of young guys with 1 to 3 limbs missing. And I've been pretty much a pacifist ever since. And I see these guys in the Republican Party that think we should go into Syria, never leave Iraq, stay in Afghanistan. Most of those guys haven't served.
Right.
Yeah, and Romney is reportedly listening to John Bolton, the most of any of the advisors.
Yeah.
That isn't terrifying.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, author, prosecutor extraordinaire Marcia Clark, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, blast you and your estrogenical treachery!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Do you remember me telling you the most embarrassing moment of my life, Chris?
Which one?
Well, there's been many. My point, right, is that's hard to pick one. But on my disastrous late night show, my TV show, I played a superhero called Marcia Clark Kent.
Yes, I remember that.
I wore a business suit and a cape. Of some sort, and Henry Winkler walked by, and that's when I met Henry Winkler, and I was dressed as a
Marcia Clark Kent.
It was hilarious. All right, and it was based on a real life hero, Marcia Clark, who joins us now. Good morning, Marcia Clark.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am well. I was up all night thanks to you and your new book. Because can I give away the beginning? It starts with an axe murder. I mean, for God's sakes.
Sound effects and everything. Oh, you're the bestest, man.
You know, I have to tell you, and I said this to you, I rarely get to read stuff other than political geek stuff, and I was on a plane and read your first one, Guilt by Association, which was fabulous, and this is the follow-up, Guilt by Degrees.
Yes, I'm so glad you like them, Stephanie. I really always wanted to write crime fiction since I was a kid, and I loved Nancy Drew and all that.
And then, you know, even when I was a prosecutor, I was addicted to crime fiction. I'd do it all day, then I'd go home and read about it at night.
Oh, you were a prosecutor? Oh, I didn't look that far back.
Yeah, no, no, cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Were you? Any famous trials?
No big deal. Huh?
Yeah. This is Rachel Knight. It's the follow-up to the national bestseller Guilt by Association, featuring the unforgettable Los Angeles DA Rachel Knight. Is she based on anybody, the hilariously potty-mouth character? Anybody you know?
I cleaned her up, and they still call her potty mouth. What's up with that?
Because I've hung out with you, and
yeah, you know. If anybody knows, you know.
Somebody
you
wrote.
You were the first, Stephanie. You were the first to bust me on national television and told everybody that I was a goofball.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't. I saw the goofball side of you. I'm like, wow, you don't see that in court. Don't see a lot of whoopee cushions and stuff.
Yes, that would go over well.
There was a review that said Clark's plot is gritty and intriguing, but it's the hilariously potty-mouthed characters that make this debut thriller sing, they said of your first book.
Yes. And then the same characters come back. Rachel Knight, the special trial prosecutor.
Right.
Detective Bailey Keller of robbery homicide, and their friend Tony LaColette, also a special trials prosecutor.
Yep.
So this is a recurring series. They come back in book two, and the this time the murder starts with a hideous axe murder.
Yeah,
I don't usually do a lot of blood and gore. I'm not into that kind of gratuitous stuff, but there was a point to this one, and there will always be. There will be enough. There will be the kind of violence that makes sense when you read it and get into the book. You'll see why. But other than that first scene, it really is more. It's twisty. There's a lot of action, but it's not a gory thing.
Well, no, it was interesting. I was getting ready for today's show, and so I thought, well, I'm just going to start reading a little bit till I, you know, fall asleep. And then it started with the axe murder. I'm like, let me go shut the dog door and check all my locks, which I did.
But it sounds like it gripped you right from the very beginning.
It did. No, your first book really was fabulous, and you're right. It's the kind of thing I don't think I would like that kind of book, and I thought it was fabulous.
I'm so glad. You know, Stephanie, I try to keep it real, even though the premise and the characters are fictional. What I do is I unfold the case the way it really would and do the investigation the way an investigation would really happen, take the steps a detective would take, and I don't cut corners. So if there would be a legal obstacle, I work with it, and the reader knows about it. I don't just make it up and change it, which I think is kind of bad, and I think that readers are a little too sophisticated to play games like that. You know, when they see a scene that doesn't make sense, they know it doesn't go this way in real life. It takes them out of the moment, and I think if there's something that I can deliver uniquely, it is the ability to do an authentic description of how things go. So,
Guilt by Degrees is described as a thrilling ride through the world of the L.A. courts. What would you know about that, Marcia Clark?
I don't know. I ask a lot of people. I do research.
Which, by the way, how do you, maybe not legally, but how do you karmically feel about O.J. Simpson being in jail for something else?
I know, right? Did we ever talk about this clown car?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, my God. I wound up covering part of that case for Entertainment Tonight, that hard-hitting news agency.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'd go in and I'd talk, God, they did this motion, that motion, this evidence. Yeah, but what's he wearing?
Oh, my God. Right. Oh, television.
Oh, it's wonderful. But I have to tell you, it's crazy. I mean, they had the whole thing on videotape.
I mean, and by the way, I got to get your take on it. Obviously, the case right now so much in the news is the Trayvon Martin case.
Yeah.
Do you still follow stuff like that? I mean, do you get gripped by stuff, or are you burned out on court stuff?
No, I'm unfortunately still gripped. I think it's like this is lifelong.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to it. I also cover comment on these cases for CNN on Anderson Cooper 360 a lot. Occasionally on Jane Willis Mitchell. So I'm always staying up on it. We're actually on verdict watch now for the John Edwards trial.
Right.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen there? Go ahead.
I think he's going to get nailed.
Oh, wow.
I really do. They put on a really strong case. You know, I mean, it was. I can't believe, given the testimony, if you believe the testimony of the Andrew Young, the guy who...
Right.
I did all the work for him and took the money and hid Riel Hunter. If you believe him, he's toast. Now, if you don't believe him and you think he just had an axe to grind, then there's a way to wriggle out from under it. But I suspect they're not going to.
I think a lot of us were surprised. I mean, as girls, you and I, let's just say, let's stipulate, he is a dirtbag.
Yeah.
But it seems like it is amazing that of all the cases to prosecute, that one... It seems sort of borderline, but you think not legally, huh?
No, not legally. I mean, you know, is it the crime of the century? No. You know, he didn't kill anybody. It's a diversion of campaign funds. But you shouldn't do that. So I can't say, it's not that I don't believe that sometimes prosecutions can be politically motivated, especially on the federal level where,
right.
they have choices. What about the Clemens trial? That's the baseball player who was caught with doing steroids.
Roger Clemens,
yeah.
Really? Do we really have to spend taxpayer money on this?
Yeah, I was shocked to find there were steroids in baseball myself.
I was shocked, but yes, but how much did you care?
Right. So what's your take on the Trayvon Martin case?
Yeah. That one seems to have something unfolding every minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of in a wait and see mode because just in the 1 week ago they had a big document dump and I was on AC360 talking about all the new evidence that they had and what it meant. And then yesterday we find that a few really key witnesses had changed their statements from one to number two, and
right.
that when the feds went out and talked to them, they said, "Oh no, I'm not so sure it was the black kid on top. It might have been the white guy, and I don't know who was yelling help." And so this kind of thing, it's like constantly changing shape. If it stays that Zimmerman was the one who attacked Trayvon Martin, it stays that he was the provocateur, if you will, of the confrontation, then he's going to have a very hard time proving to the jury why he was justified in shooting him. Because at the end of the day, if you provoke the fight, you're going to have to show a lot of things happening. Like you have to retreat, you have to fall back, you have
right.
to show that the other guy went after you.
Well, that seems right. That seems to me to be the most relevant thing, that uh-huh. the 911 operator told him, stay in your car
and
wait for the police to get there. Do not, that seems to be, and that the lead investigator wanted to charge him with manslaughter that night. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what you think about police work. I know sloppy police work has probably never annoyed you, Mark Furman.
What
but,
are you talking about again? I don't know.
But cops that say stupid things.
cops who say stupid
yes.
things on tape talking to authors. I
yeah.
don't know what that might be like.
Yeah, sorry to hit a sore spot with you. But
what sore spot?
Yeah. The book is fabulous. It is Guilt by Degrees. You are going to be at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove tonight in L.A., right?
I am. But tonight, the Barnes & Noble Grove, we're going to be signing and talking and laughing and stuff. And you know what? I wanted to make sure that everybody knows these books. Book three is already turned in. It's coming out next year, Guilt by Ambition. But these books have fun. They have a lot of laughter in them, a lot of joking, because that's the way it really, really was with the detectives, because you had to have a sense of humor to do a job like that. So, just so they know, it's not this grim, just the facts, ma'am, kind
no.
of book.
No. And Marcia yes. Clark in person, I can attest, is delightful, bawdy, hilarious. Speaking of which, I'm having a party, and here's the magic words, I have scotch.
Where are you going to be?
This weekend. I'll send you an email. All right.
Okay.
Marcia Clark at the Grove in L.A. tonight at the Barnes & Noble. What time?
7 o'clock. Thank you very much.
7 o'clock. All right, honey. I'll talk to you soon.
So much fun. Thanks,
there
Stephanie.
She goes. Marcia Clark.
Yay.
No matter, she's
love
hilarious.
Her.
Yeah. When I met her, because you really, all you saw was the courtroom, which, of course,
right.
and you meet her in person, and it's just whoopee cushions, slide whistles,
yeah.
and scotch.
You're
and,
not the Marcia Clark that was on my TV for 9 months.
Who was that woman?
She is a wackadoodle, that woman.
Yeah,
she's hilarious.
Awesome.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's take a quick one. Jean in Cleveland. Hi, Jean. Hi.
Fox News reminds me of an info commercial for Republicans.
It is.
It is.
Thanks for paying attention. It's
and if you vote for Mitt, you get this Brazilian power crystal.
Exactly. Why don't they just end every show with that? Vote for Mitt now.
Call now to get 6 free minutes. And while supplies last, this Brazilian power crystal absolutely free.
Happy clappy news for us. The deck is stacked against Obama in Nevada, and he's leading anyway.
Hooray!
How's about that? If you were betting on President Obama's chances to win Nevada in a Vegas casino, you'd probably consider the state's staggering unemployment rate, its history of voting for Republicans in 7 of the last 10 presidential elections, and its large Mormon population. You might be wise to put your chips on President Obama anyway, according to the story. Despite the many factors working against him, he's still favored to beat Mitt Romney. He's got an 8-point lead in the latest
good.
Poll. He has improved his standing with independents since the fall while Romney has dropped. Romney, by the way, the other big thing, the housing crisis there, and Romney's saying, let's hurry up and speed up these foreclosures.
Yeah.
Let's hurry up. And
sure, that didn't sit well.
Yeah, that didn't play well.
Wow.
There's a dose of reality with many Nevada voters who are acknowledging that Obama didn't create this economy. We saw this starting back in 2005 and 2006, before Obama was even a candidate, according to one expert there.
It's still his fault.
and also the Nevada Republican Party, well-known bunch of boobs. Moreover, Nevada.
That's right. They're the ones who put forth the Second Amendment solutions.
Yes.
Okay.
Nevada's demographics are also conducive to Obama's reelection hopes. That population is skewing younger and more Hispanic, also home to several influential unions. The coalitions could prove more significant than Nevada's large Mormon population, a group whose role in Romney's victory in the caucuses was amplified due to a relatively small voter turnout. The voter turnout in the Republican primary there. So, anyway, so a little slivers of hope.
Hooray!
Yay! For silver linings. All right.
I like Nevada. Oh, silver lining for the silver state.
See what you did there?
I do.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I'm beautiful in a way, just I make no mistakes. Not on the right track, baby, I was born this way. Don't have a self and regret, just love and self instead. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way. Born this way.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Did you see it?
What?
Did you see the video? Oh, my God, I cried. Lady Gaga is in it. Jane Lynch narrates. Lady Gaga claps. Barney Frank is in the has a cameo. President Obama's reelection campaign released a new ad to court the LGBT vote. Lynch says that Obama counted us as friends, it features him speaking to the Human Rights Campaign, telling them he talks with your leader, Lady Gaga. She was wearing 16-inch heels, and then she's shown clapping. Lynch says, in 2008, we elected a man who understood our struggles. The video cuts to Obama's message for the It Gets Better anti-bullying campaign. It is a tearjerker. You have to watch it. He calls the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell one of my proudest moments. The video also notes actions to expand hospital visitation, consultation rights for same-sex couples, yada, yada. He says not only to preserve the gains that we've made over the last 3 years, to make sure that discrimination is eliminated, you're going to need a strong advocate in the White House. I am that strong advocate. It's not just a matter of head. It's a matter of heart. It's who I am. It's what I care about.
It's not just a matter of what?
What? Sorry?
It's not a matter of head. It's a matter of heart, is what he said.
Okay.
Right. It is a very touching video.
Yes.
That shall not be besmirched.
The scriptwriters need
by giggling mooks.
Well...
Romney's like, heart, heart, what's that?
What's that?
What's a conviction, huh? All right. Oh, hey, looky here.
Is that to prison for firing people?
Oops.
What? Hey, here's some people who might be getting kicked out of the Republican Party. What's this? Conservative Representative Roscoe Bartlett, Republican of Maryland.
Oh, he's good.
Said, if the Keystone Pipeline comes down through our country, which I hope it does, that won't change the price of oil. The price of oil is determined on a global basis by what the supply is and what the demand is.
Oh, no.
Oh,
he's going to be disappeared into the cornfield.
Good day, sir. You get nothing. And Alan West, has he been struck in the head? Tea Party icon Alan West says he's willing to talk about raising taxes.
What?
To lower the debt and the deficit? Oh, somewhere Grover Norquist has just exploded. Alan West made an announcement on Tuesday. He's willing to discuss raising taxes in order to address the nation's budget shortfall. He stipulated before he would consider increasing taxes, he'd have to be satisfied Congress had first eliminated a lot of that waste, fraud, and abuse. Once that threshold was met, he said it was time to talk about raising taxes as a means to make sure we keep our debt and our deficit at a manageable level.
What did he do with Alan West? Who is that imposter?
What have you done with him?
I think Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Jedi mind meld or something.
And you take the mask off.
These are not the laws you voted for.
Cracks in the Norquist pledge are starting to appear. Other House Republicans have shown similar angst about the pledge despite signing.
They're pledging to ignore the pledge.
No.
They're unpledging.
Oh, dear. Heavens.
Just don't drown Grover Norquist in a bathtub. That would be wrong.
That'd be wrong. Katie Kirk, please and thank you, has extended...
Poetic justice, but wrong.
Jim Louise. Katie Kirk has extended an open invitation to Sarah Palin to guest on her forthcoming daytime talk show, Katie.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think she's going to have to gather that information and get back.
Try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Okay. I'll try to get you an answer. Bring them back.
Palin hates Kirk with the heat of 1,000
white... That's because of the gotcha questions.
1,000 white hot pointy suns.
So, Sarah, what are you reading?
Shut up. All right.
Hate you.
Matthew McConaughey, who is so handsome and romantic. He was on my flight once. Oh, my God. He's been cast as JFK in The Butler. It's based on the life of a longtime White House employee played by Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker you went to school with.
Yes. One of the many, many people that are much, much more successful than I am that I went to school with. Jane Fonda will play Nancy Reagan. That is right-wing world exploding.
Matthew McConaughey is JFK. That's weird.
Yeah. John Cusack as President Nixon.
I can see that.
Okay.
Alan Rickman as President Ronald Reagan and Oprah Winfrey as Forrest Whitaker's wife.
Wow. All right. Today the proudest boast is I am a jelly donut. That would have gone better if I'd taken my shirt off.
Well, now everything's going to be all right. Naomi Campbell has called for peace in the Middle East.
Well, then. We
hadn't thought of sending her with a cell phone.
Yeah.
She'll just
beat all the non-peaceful people in the head with your cell phone.
Why is she calling for peace in the Middle East? What?
That could get them to stop building settlements and the Palestinians to stop. Oh!
What?
Oh, she has a horrible temper. She toured the Palestinian city Bethlehem, where she lit candles in the Church of the Nativity.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi was there for her 42nd birthday, and she would like world peace for her 42nd birthday, please and thank you.
She'll hit you in the head if you're not with her enough.
Exactly. And she said she hoped for an end to bloodshed in the region. She said, weapons and war, greed and oil, I hope it all stops. I care about health.
Wow.
Well, not of the employees that work with her, which she tends to strike in the head with a cell phone. But in general, health. About good vibrations, destruction.
Why are the Palestinians and Israelis, after thousands of years of fighting, going to listen to Naomi Campbell?
Because she is fierce. And she has a horrible temper.
Well, if we just needed someone fierce down there.
Yeah, there aren't enough fierce people in the Middle East. Never have been.
Oh, here's good news. Our long national nightmare is over, Jim. Dog the Bounty Hunter has been canceled by A&E. If you recall, he was recorded in a phone conversation by his son where he was made repeated use of the N-word.
No.
While berating his son for dating a black girl.
Wow.
Bye-bye, dog. Kelly Clarkson.
Now the Arts and Racism Channel.
it's the A&N words channel. Kelly Clarkson says having a boyfriend is ruining her creativity. See, that's why I'm a single loser. Otherwise, this would all go to hell.
Well, that's because she writes the best breakup songs ever.
I know. Now what? That's what she said. She's famed for writing songs about heartbreak.
I can't write happy songs.
Some really good ones.
Yeah.
Behind These Hazel Eyes, right?
Yeah, it wasn't one of her best.
I loved it. Admits being happy is changing her outlook when it comes to writing songs. She said, it's killing me. I'm trying to write a tough song that's coming out like butterflies and rainbows. It's ruining my
sugar,
candy.
Sugar,
I'm writing all this.
You are my candy boy. No!
No!
No! This is not working!
With my new stuff, people are going to be like, what the hell happened to you?
Yeah.
That guy needs to break up with her for all of our sakes, for her sake.
It's like the Sex Pistols singing Billy, Don't Be a Hero.
Yeah, we want the good songs coming for. We don't want the unicorns farting glitter?
Yeah, because of you. I mean, right, exactly. Now we're going to... Leprechauns farting gold dust. All right. Hey, listen, sexy liberal John Fugelsang will join us all 3 hours, and I hear he's doing a bang-up job filling in for Elliot Spitzer on Current. Yes, on Viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So tune in. Is he on tonight?
He's on tonight.
I believe he is, and he will join us all 3 hours.
He's busy.
He's disturbingly beautiful. So he will join us all 3 hours for Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, Courtney, and the gang in the Current Control Room. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.